But don't play with me, 'cause you're playing with fire.
Good morning and welcome to Playing with Fire, Long Island's only food, wine, and lifestyle show. I'm your host, Tom Shortell. And I'm here with co-host, dear friend, and producer, Stu Schrager. Good morning, Stu.
Good morning, Tom. How art thou?
That was good. I've been out and about a lot this week and, had some good meals out and fun stuff. I've been working hard and, I did a big Palm Sunday thing. We had like 200 people show up for a buffet that we were doing for Palm Sunday. They had an Easter egg hunt for the kids at the club. That was fun. Changed a new spring menu in Amano, so new spring menu's out. I should have social changed over by next week. So I've been kind of busy guy,
Very nice, very nice. So here we sit. It's Easter Sunday.
I know. Crazy, right?
And I was able to celebrate two nights of Passover.
Yeah.
When I say that, I mean
the Wednesday and Thursday, right?
It was Wednesday and Thursday. It's the first two nights of the holiday.
Mm-hmm.
Seder night, they call it. And for my family, it was really a change. My mom celebrated a high number birthday recently, and she's decided to retire from family catering.
Listen, she's put her time in, man. She
deserves
it. Yeah,
so... again, Mom used to spend like 2 weeks before each holiday, like putting it all together.
Prepping.
There would always be a turkey, there'd be brisket or all these different side dishes and usually matzo ball soup, and she'd make her own matzo balls.
Yeah.
And the pièce de résistance, it's not rice-a-roni, is chopped liver.
Oh, good.
So,
How I feel about that.
The gefilte fish was something she bought, but there was a specific version that she
would...
They only
run about 1 week a year.
I guess. That be said, though, I find ShopRite to be more catering to the Jewish community.
Uh-huh.
And when I went there Monday night, I believe it was, and they were like out of gefilte fish.
Yeah, well, they probably only brought in a half a case. I mean, there's nobody under 80 that eats that.
So, but I have to share. So, Mom's exit from hosting and nobody else willing to...
Pick up the slack.
We did what most Jews have to do. Well, we went to the diner.
There you go.
But I got to tell you, there was like three or four other tables,
uh-huh.
And everybody sort of was under the radar. There were a couple of larger groups of people. This was a Wednesday night.
Nobody reading prayers
and,
or anything.
You wouldn't know.
Yeah, yeah.
But to be honest, I brought a little bottle of Kedem grape wine.
Uh-huh.
My father's favorite.
Second upscale Manischewitz?
Yeah. My father's favorite, Malaga. So normal Concord grape isn't thick enough, so you have to have this extreme version, which is the flavor is called Malaga.
Yeah.
So I had that.
Something bad in Spanish.
I was a little concerned that, bringing a bottle of wine, and I wasn't going to start. I just didn't think they were ready for it. So I asked for a coffee cup, poured some wine. We did the blessings.
Nice.
We brought a book. There's a book that gives you the outline of the Seder.
Sure.
It's called the Haggadah.
Uh-huh.
And it's got all the prayers and all the stories or whatever.
Why is this night different
so we
from
went
any
around,
other, right?
Yeah, there's four questions, and usually that's recited by the youngest.
Yeah.
I did tell my waiter that the four questions for him that night was, what was the soup of the day? What is the nightly special?
What can I get the sauce
what,
on the
what
side?
What are the hours of early bird? You got a kick out of it. But we really, we did a little bit of Seder. I thought it was pretty cool. And then throughout the night, people, as they were leaving, came over and wished us happy Passover.
Nice.
And this one's Irving from Boynton Beach, and this one's from Delray. Again, other families found the need that they wanted to gather.
But we all had older moms,
Yeah, yeah. No, the couple next to us, the mom, rivaled my mom. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was just really cool. And really, there was a sense of community because people throughout the night were stopping. And what an incredible night. Not only was it Passover, we had Artemis II blasting off. So I had a countdown to Seder beginning.
Oh, there you go. I thought you were going to be Artemis like the stag sleep wine.
And then we're not going to talk about it, but I'm just going to mention then when we all got home, we got to hear Trump give the nation the report on the war in Iran, but we will not talk about it. But at any rate, so the second night of Passover, I went to a friend's house, and that was a more traditional Seder. The good friends of mine, the family, they lost their matriarch this past year.
Oh boy.
The most glamorous woman that I've ever met.
Really?
She was like 90 something, but you know,
Zsa Zsa?
The hair was, she rivaled that. Her hair was always done. The makeup was always done. It was so funny because she was like a one of a kind. And I remember going down to Florida one time, and we go to see a friend of mine's son perform in a local community play.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, that's got to be Barbara's mother. And Carrie goes, I don't know. She goes, well, you can go over and
fool of yourself.
Right. But sure enough, it was. And then she was just like, what are you doing here when I know you from up in New York?
Yeah.
But it was all good.
That's funny.
And again, today is Easter Sunday, and hopefully everybody is enjoying the religious experiences that each celebrates.
I did a Seder on Thursday, and I enjoy it, actually. I get to, I say this every year, but I get to make things that I normally wouldn't make. I don't make matzo ball soup generally during the year because I don't have a big call for it. And I certainly don't make chopped liver because I think it's cat food, and I really can't eat it. I actually have to have somebody taste it for me to see if there's enough salt in it because I can't get it down. I gag as soon as I, even look at it. But it is fun to do because, I do my repertoire. It's what I do. And, you expand it here and there. You put different things in. But to get, certain ethnic holidays like Passover, even Paddy's Day to some degree, I get to do things that are outside my zone of talent. And, it's fun. It's fun. I enjoy making matzo balls. I enjoy making I don't enjoy making a chopped liver. I got to tell you, I'm out on that. But the rest of it's fun. I mean, I do a brisket, not a brisket, but a short rib.
So you do chop liver?
I do, yeah.
You use schmaltz?
I do.
And that's rendered?
Chicken fat. Yeah. And
I believe that the Zorn's is, the sales have lowered this year because mom didn't send me to get the rendered chicken fat.
Yeah, there you go.
I love going in there asking for it because you call up and you say, do you have it? And the people that answer the phone, they're more veteran.
Yeah.
Experience, so they know. But when you get there and the kid's behind the counter, what the heck are you talking about?
Yeah. But I do this these short ribs, and what my secret weapon in the short ribs for Seder is? I use a little bit of Dr. Brown's black cherry soda in the braise.
Wow.
And it just kind of gives it a little bit of sweetness and to the sauce, which is, I think, fun. And then we do a salmon and a chicken. I do a bronzino. And then, I make matzah crack, with the...
Mom used to do that, too.
Yeah, the chocolate on there. And it's fun to do. It's just it's a hoot of a meal to make.
It's funny you talk about the marinating in the black cherry soda. Carrie does something during barbecue season with root beer.
Yeah. So I use root beer when I... generally, I use root beer when I do short ribs. But, in the spirit of... the Jewish holiday, Dr. Brown's is classic, Jewish deli fare, as he composites, as Jewish as corned beef and pastrami, Because, I go to Ben's all the time, and it's always a half a pastrami sandwich, a bowl of mushroom barley, and a Dr. Brown's diet black cherry.
Control your desires, because for the next 7 days, no Ben's for you.
I know. It's like, I can't now. I gotta do the Italian
thing. I get a kick. Ben's is a kosher Jewish deli.
Yeah.
It's kosher. Now, there's a lot of other restaurants that sort of cater to the same audience.
Right.
The most famous that I always remember is Pastrami King in Merrick, which was kosher style, so they would stay open. But I think it was during COVID that things got a little dicey, and I believe it was Passover. I was on my way to my mom's house, and it was going to be very small because nobody was supposed to be gathering with each other. But this is a great memory. So we did a Zoom So my daughter in Belmore had her group together. I think my son and I stopped off there on the way to my mom's, and they told us of a place they were going to, and it was this something called, I think it's Pastrami Express in Seaford. We took out from there or whatever, but I got a kick because you're not supposed to eat bread.
Yeah, unleavened bread, right?
Right. Yep. So they got the brisket part right, but they served it with holly. But it gets better because then we go to mom's house. Mom's in Oceanside. We get there, and again, we're really trying to abide by what goes on. Yep. And maybe there wasn't even a Seder, but we just felt we needed to share the holiday, and she lived alone and everything. So we go into the backyard. We got the computer going or whatever, and mom comes out with her gloves. Now, if anything, it should have been the mask.
Yeah, yeah.
But she came out with the gloves. So, gotta love you. Gotta love you, Mom. It just added a memory to the collection.
Yeah, it's fun stuff, you know. There's nothing better than, you know, family things that happen, you know. I had my grandson, who's quite a character. I don't know, he's an alien. He's just a funny kid, you know. He comes out with things that, you know, you just don't expect. And their school was on lockdown last week. They had some kind of phone call come in. They misinterpreted it as some kind of terrorist threat or whatever. So they locked down the school. So my grandson decides to inform the class why the school is locked down. He says, "Don't worry, they probably just found Nancy Guthrie." And I'm like, what this kid is talking about? I mean, I don't even know how he knows about that. He's 8 years old, you know. It's insane, you know. It's so funny, the things kids come out with, you know.
It is.
The family stuff is fun, you know.
So a couple of things, some house cleaning. Barry Manilow is playing UBS Arena on April 13th, which is a week from Monday.
Yeah, Monday night.
And it's
Barry's. You know how I know that?
How do you know that?
My birthday's the next day.
Really? So your birthday's the 14th, 4/14.
Yes, I'll be very old.
Nah, young at heart for sure. So, again, Barry's playing UBS Arena April 13th, and we have been giving away tickets, and we are not giving away any more tickets at this point, but I wanted to go through the list and announce who won.
Sure.
And then I promise that this coming week, the week of April 6th, which will give you a week before you get notice about going to the show. Mm-hmm. But if the people that I named today, if you could send us another email sharing your cell number so we can reach out to you and make sure that you have gotten the tickets and downloaded them and all.
It's complicated, this ticket giveaway.
Yeah, it is. You know, in the old days, we'd say, come down to the studio and you can pick them up. This is all electronic. But let me quickly go through who is a winner.
Yeah, I'd love to hear.
We got Larry Feldman.
All right.
Who's a longtime
Larry.
Listener. We also have Mark Lane.
Uh-huh.
We also have the name I don't have. It's actually Alan, and his email is ARM4. You are getting a pair of tickets. Then we got Bob Teets.
Uh-huh.
So you are going to see Barry Manilow. We have Arlene Dubs, who's reached out to us a couple of times.
Hmm.
She will be seeing, and again, this is the couple that is a widow and widower who have found each other in their life circle. And one of them is 83 and one is 92.
No kidding.
And it's their anniversary this month. So God bless and enjoy the show.
Yeah, yeah.
We got Julietta Labau. Julietta has been so diligent. Every week she guessed the right song.
Uh-huh.
And I think even her husband might have submitted whatever. But you guys are going. And then Bill O'Leary is going.
Really?
Yeah. Billy. He named the song. One of the songs that we played was I Write the Songs.
Mm-hmm.
And he also said that he's going to King Umberto's if he was lucky enough to win.
Good for him.
So that's that. So
we got to put King Umberto's on red alert.
Yeah. So for whatever, the people that we listed, if you could please send another email and include your full name and your cell number, so that we can send you tickets and stay in touch with you to make sure that it's a seamless and easy process to get there. And then I just wanted to, I saw a story in Newsday, And sometimes in life, you just need to validate a memory. Mm-hmm. Like, I always wonder if, like, was this a dream or this was real? And over the years, my former life, when I was married, the family used to do a lot of group things. My father-in-law was a businessman that traveled a lot. And we had need for transportation. And we worked with a company called Hempstead Limousine or Hempstead right. Transportation. And the owner recently passed away. His name was Henry Holly. He was 86 and he passed away, very well known in the Hempstead community. And it's just so funny because I remember that one day he just shows up at the house and he's got this shiny new limousine. Mm-hmm. And he was just so proud of it. He said, I had to come over and share this beautiful vehicle I just bought. Uh-huh. And again, thank you, he was saying, you know, for working with my company because that allowed me
to. Supporting us, yeah.
So sure. In Newsday, they said Henry Holly Jr. Was telling the story to Newsday. And he goes, one day, a salesman drove a black and cranberry stretch limo to his Main Street building in Hempstead. And the younger Holly remembers his father's eyes glistening. He bought it for $45,000 at the time when a stretch limo was rare. But it's true. He drove this beautiful Lincoln,
yeah,
maroon with a black top, and he was just so proud of it. And he had to share. He was a good man, and I know that he'll be missed in the community because when I got into the radio business, I kept hearing about all these different things that he was involved with. Uh-huh. And I got to meet up with him at one point, which was really cool because I just love when threads connect things.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
It was really cool to actually have him reappear in my life. And again, I was saddened to hear of his departure, but he was a good man, well-loved, and rest in peace, my friend.
Those people are special, too. You know, you get people who get involved in civics, and, you know, I was never that guy, but, you know, these people are trying to better the community, work for, you know, give their time and stuff. Those are special people, man. And, you know, they just, you know, I even watch it. My daughter coaches softball, you know, and you see the umpires come down, and I guess they get paid a stipend or something. It's a little, but they, you know, they're getting yelled at by the parents. You know, it's just, you know, who needs the abuse? It's just nice that, you know, people kind of volunteer their time and do that, especially for kids. You know, because I got a soft spot for that.
Gotcha. So, at the risk of being embarrassed once again,
oh no,
I had the occasion. This year's been great. I found my Irish roots. My Irish roots are Kerry.
Yeah, I was going to say. Irish by extension.
So, I was blessed to be asked to march in the St. Patrick's Day parade in the city. Mm-hmm. And who knew that the whole month of March is the St. Patrick's Day celebration?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, every week there's another parade.
Yeah.
So this week I got invited to go out to St. James.
Mm-hmm.
And, my knowledge of geography fails me. So first we had to pick up a friend that was in Mastic.
Mm-hmm.
So we drove from Melville to Mastic.
Yeah.
And I don't remember how we got there. I don't know if it was the expressway or Sunrise Highway or whatever.
Magellan.
But anyway, we get out to Mastic, and then I find out that Mastic is near Riverhead.
Yeah.
Because a couple of weeks ago I talked that I went to Tweed's for dinner.
Yeah.
And next thing I know, we're passing Tweeds.
Yeah.
So I guess, however we got there,
I was
going
to say, if you're passing Tweeds, probably took a wrong turn.
No, somewhere. No, it was right. We had to go from, we had to go from Mastic up north, to get to the North Fork. So we go on a road that I guess led us to Northville Pike.
Uh-huh, yeah. Northville Turnpike.
Northville Turnpike. And there's that main road that Tanger is on and stuff.
Yeah,
we crossed that, and we were on our way to, maybe we stayed on Northville. But at any rate, somehow along the way, I passed Pominock.
Uh-huh.
And what?
That's on main road.
Okay, so that's where. So now does Northville sort of turn into main road or?
Well, Northville Turnpike goes.
I apologize, right. So when I crossed over the road, like I said, that the Walmart's on in Tanger.
Right.
That's Main Road?
That's Main Road. That's essentially Main Road. It's Route 97 or whatever.
Okay, so, yeah, so we made the right and went out on Main Road.
Yeah.
Now, so, again, I saw Pominock. And now, where was Sparkling Point? Because a couple of weeks ago, I saw
Sparkling Point's on North Road, and that's east. That's in Southold.
Okay.
So North Road runs parallel to, we went over this last week, right? North Road runs parallel to Main Road. But it's north, you know, it's what I call North Road.
So obviously. North Road is north of Main Road.
Of Main Road, yeah, but okay. It runs parallel.
Okay, so Pominock is on
Main Road.
Main Road.
Yes.
Where is your restaurant?
They're all on Main Road. One's in Matatuck, and the other two are in Southold. One's on the north side of the road, Southold Social, about a half a mile east of the village. And the other one is another, like, mile past that in the Port of Egypt Marina, which is right on the water. That's on the south side. That's where Allure is.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So we can do a shameless plug at the moment. So again,
like
you have three restaurants.
Yes.
You have?
I have Amano in Matatuck, which is a Tuscan-style Italian restaurant. Then I have Southold Social in Southold, which is kind of a upscale American small plates, fun sharing kind of menu. And then we have Allure in Southold on the Port of Egypt Marina, which is, you know, seafood. Obviously, we're right on the water. We have beautiful views. There's an outside deck. Probably seats about another 100 people out there, which is, you know, you have a beautiful view of the bay. It's a gorgeous setting. I wasn't going to do that place. I remember when I was offered that location, I guess I'm going back to 2010. So it's been a while, 16 years or whatever. I didn't want to do it. I was having some employee issues, and I'm saying, you know, I need another restaurant. Like, I need another tattoo. I'm not going to do this, right? And then I was going to go give the keys back to the owner, who was, he owns the marina there. Anyway, so I said, I'll walk in there, take a look, you know. It's February. There's nothing going on, you know. And I'm just looking out the window because I have these big bay windows there. I'm looking out at the water, and it turned me into a valley girl. I went, all right, you know, I'll do it, you know, kind of thing. It was, how do you say no to that view, you know? It was just crazy.
So when you talk about that restaurant, my thoughts go to somebody sitting outside enjoying a freshly steamed lobster.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Butter dripping down.
Right off your elbows. Yeah, no, I know. It's, you know, we sell a fair amount of lobster there. It's... Lobster isn't as popular as it used to be. I remember as a kid, you know, when this, you know, just starting in the restaurant business, I had a friend of mine who worked at down on the what I call that, the mile or something, nautical mile in Freeport, and it was a restaurant right at the end called the Schooner.
And oh yeah,
remember that? Yeah. So he used to work as a waiter at the Schooner, and they were making $500 a day. I'm making like, you know, $16, you know, kind of thing. It was so busy, and it's all they sold was lobsters. I mean, 2 pounders, 3 pounders, 1 pounder, whatever. It's just, I think that people, we've gotten lazy as a culture. I think it's just, people don't want to work at it. You know, don't want to crack it. They don't want to, you know, it's got to be on the side. I can't have butter, you know, all this other stuff that we've gotten into over the years. And, you know, lobster to me is, you know, summer's gift, you know, to culinary endeavors.
So when you mention the Schooner, that sends my mind wondering, and it's not as sharp as it used to be, but the Schooner was the one that was all the way down.
Yeah.
There was another one, and I'm going to have to do some research, that was all the way up, like when you came off Merrick Road, mm-hmm. and I got to figure out, excuse me, Atlantic Avenue. I got to figure out the name of that. I used to always come out from Bayside on Saturday nights to dine there.
The Nautilus?
No, the Nautilus is still there. This
yeah.
this was even before you got down to that.
Oh, it's
But and then it, my mind goes to Villa Rosa, which I believe was like when you got off the Meadowbrook on Merrick Road
yeah,
was
yeah.
an Italian
That's
restaurant
was. Yeah,
that
yeah,
was
yeah.
there. But yeah. there was a seafood restaurant that I got to figure out. But that makes me think of something interesting. Just to go back in thought, a typical Jewish entree for Passover is brisket.
Right.
So, as it turns out, we were talking about family gatherings. The some of my friends in the office that are Jewish, and one goes, "Well, I'm on my way to Smokin' Al's to get my brisket."
Uh-huh.
And I love you, Al. I don't know. You know, barbecue brisket.
Well, it's kind of a variation on a theme, you know.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
So that again, your brisket is incredible. You can get it sliced.
Yeah.
You can get it. Chopped, they make something. I like traditional just broiled brisket. And what's interesting in our geography, the Italian delis, markets, the Italian markets. So you got Ivoroni Brothers, you got Uncle Giuseppe, you got Salpino. I know that Ivoroni has something during the holiday season called Brisket Judaica.
Oh, wow.
it's more traditional. Yeah. And Uncle Giuseppe's does the same thing, which is interesting. But Al, you got the best. Again, we love you. Thank you for being a part of the Playing With Fire family.
Yeah.
And I got to say, apparently Al won a under-the-radar battle. And that being that down the road from him in Seaford, he's more in Massapequa.
Yeah.
Dang Barbecue was closing its doors.
Yeah, saw that. Yeah.
They were the old Seaford Diner.
Yeah.
And he said that the real estate was too large for what his clientele was.
Sure.
I guess he was in Islip and he was in Seaford.
Yeah, Islip's a much smaller store.
He closed Islip. There was a lot of people upset, so he stayed open a little bit. Much smaller place, like you just said.
Yeah.
But I'm led to believe that it's going the way of...
the dinosaur. You know, it's funny. Barbecue food to me is mood food, you know? And I think that's what makes Al so such an anomaly in this business to me. I mean, and I'm so happy he's done what he's done. But you know, you took a guy like Al who came from a completely other. I think he was in the clothing business or something in the garment industry, right? And decides to open a restaurant. That just doesn't happen. Most of those fail because people don't know what they're doing or whatever. And then to choose barbecue, which is a very difficult thing. I mean, you look at Manhattan, they got 8 million people in Manhattan. There's 5 barbecue places, you know. It's not like there's 20.
So it's funny, you know, in this world of food that we share, again, Al is a great guy. He's got a great business. Again, it's a little different atmosphere than Dang was. Dang was, a lot more takeout, and it was just not as classy as Smoking Out. But that be said, Anthony, who owned Dang, was a close friend. They were also involved in a golf simulator out in Hopog.
Oh, yeah.
But in recent times, they also did a lot of catering. I work with Suffolk AME, and they had a couple of different things over the years. They had something called May Day Festival, and they also have their annual picnic. And lo and behold, there'd always be the Dang Barbecue red truck, catering truck there. But Anthony, in recent times, had talked about going the way of like a Nashville bar, you know, with food.
Yeah.
So it would be interesting to find out what actually is he sticking with that real estate? Is he changing concept? So if any of our listeners have any insight or if Anthony wants to write in, again, it's fire@whli.com, as well as sharing about Dang, if anybody knows. But with the holidays, again, there's Passover and Easter and whatever else. If you want to share some pictures, it's been a while. We get a lot of correspondence, but you can also send us pictures. Send us a picture of your Easter buffet table or whatever. Your Easter bonnet, yeah. Or maybe your Seder plate.
Yeah, there you go.
Again, we're in the midst of a lot. Restaurants closing left and right.
I know, it's crazy. I went to a couple, you know, I've been out and about this week a lot. I went to Morrow's last Saturday night, actually. And I love the place. I mean, it's just a fun little Italian restaurant. I don't think they seat for 50 people, 45 people. Augie, who you can't miss, he's the size of Rhode Island. He's huge. He's the maitre d' impresario there, and he does a great job. And he's got a couple of cooks in the back, young guys that are just killing it, you know. It's basic Italian fare, but really done well, and it's a lot of fun to be there. You know, I know Augie, and I know his brother, the owner. So, you know, for me, it's like a familiar place, like my Cheers, you know. And then I went to Eddie's the other night too. You know, friend of the show, Eddie's in Oyster Bay.
Oh, okay.
Fun place, man. And you know, I got to tell you, Chef Mo, he's doing a good job there, you know. I'm looking at the specials. He had a grilled asparagus appetizer with burrata. and like a lemon and a lemon infused breadcrumb on it. It was really nice.
That was the show that we had the chef and
the owner
the young lady.
Yes, and then we had a potato gnocchi, which isn't easy to pull off. You know, potato gnocchi, you really got to know what you're doing, otherwise they become these little like lead dumplings. You know. But he did it with like spring peas and asparagus and mushrooms. It was really good, man.
So,
really good.
Again, I always ask these questions that people must laugh at. But you got gnocchi, mm-hmm. which is potato in a dough.
Yeah.
And then you got the, what are the circular things that are stuffed?
Ravioli?
No, not ravioli. It's like ravioli, but.
Agnolotti?
No. Oh, well.
Circular things that are stuffed.
It's like a donut almost, a baby donut, and it's...
Oh, tortellini.
Tortellinis, yeah. You're making fun of me, but I got...
baby donut.
There's something to it.
Good Lord.
Tortellini.
Have I taught you nothing?
So tortellini is pretty similar to gnocchi, except one has got
It's different.
Except it's different. In concept, it's a stuffed pasta, a small stuffed pasta.
Yeah, but gnocchi's not stuffed. Gnocchi's just plain dough, you know, potato dough.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, you can stuff gnocchi, but I don't advise it unless you really know what you're doing.
See, no, I'm very enlightened.
Yeah.
So gnocchi is a potato.
And it's not gnocchi, it's gnocchi.
Like gnocchi.
Yeah.
Gnocchi.
Yeah.
And it's a potato dough mm-hmm. that's formed into like a little.
You can also make it with ricotta cheese instead of potato. Which I tend to do only because it's kind of foolproof. The potato dough gnocchi, if you don't have the hands of an Italian grandma, you know, you can mess it up. And so I have a lot of people in different kitchens, you know, of varying degrees of talent that, you know, I don't trust. So we make it with ricotta, which is foolproof. You know, and it always
Now it all comes together because I was watching a video, a reel on Facebook and Instagram, and there were little pieces of dough that they put into a clump, a small clump, and then I think they rolled it in flour or something.
They usually roll it off a little wooden thing with grooves in it to get that, you know, groove thing on the edge of the gnocchi so it absorbs the sauce better.
So now, again, in my mind,
right.
There's four different things. There's the gnocchi. That's
not gnocchi. Gnocchi.
Gnocchi.
Like, remember when you were a kid? That's the sound you want to gnocchi.
No, gnocchi.
Yeah.
So it can be plain in a sense. You said it could be stuffed with ricotta?
No. It can be it can be made with ricotta.
Oh, made with ricotta. Yeah. And then you have the tortellini that can be stuffed with meat or cheese. What type of cheese do they usually use in?
Usually some kind of a, you know, stracciatella or, you know, ricotta or mozzarella.
So how do you decide which of the four things that we just talked about you use, and what are the different sources? How do you see the ultimate pairing of how you select each of those items?
The classic pairing with tortellini is in brodo. They make a broth.
Right.
And they serve it in the broth.
So it's more a soup than a pasta with tomato sauce.
Soup garnish, yeah. I mean, you can do it with, you know, other sauces. I've made it with different sauces. But the classic serving in Italy is in brodo, which means in broth. The other ones, you know, gnocchi, you know, it's like any other pasta. You choose, you know, what you want to make that night. Why do I want to make gnocchi? Well, because I haven't had it on a menu in a week and a half or 2 weeks or whatever. Because
I think I've had tortellini Alfredo at times.
You can do that, sure.
But that also gets me thinking about when people have ravioli and you get something like a butternut squash ravioli.
Right.
You can yell at me and tell me I'm crazy, but I'm close-minded. A heavy tomato sauce with that seems wrong.
With what? With the butternut squash? Yeah, it's terrible. I mean, I wouldn't do that.
So, I mean, I think you've said in the past, and maybe I'm going to say it wrong, beurre blanc? Which is a butter sauce.
You're better off doing that than doing, you know, tomato sauce. I like to do it with brown butter just because it's lighter, you know, and that toastiness gives a good flavor. You know, brown butter, walnuts, you know, sage is a good.
So that be said, that's you've prepared it, mm-hmm. you've plated it. Do you put any cheese on top?
Yeah, sure. Rated. You know, speaking of pasta, I'm going to do a stew here. I'm going to turn without a blinker. But I spent a night in Port Washington last week, which I haven't been to in a while. I forgot what a great little town that is. You know, it's a beautiful little town. And it reminds me of a little, like, almost like Huntington, a little mini Manhattan.
It is,
right?
Like Huntington, yes.
Yeah. So I went down to Louis, you know, which has recently been renovated. And,
I'm sweating.
And so, you know, Val wanted to look at the sunset, right?
I'm schwitzing, as they say, because that's where I proposed to my ex.
Really?
In the parking lot.
Are you schwitzing out of fear or joy?
Looking back. But there's that park, the municipal parking lot, that's sort of just south of, yeah, that's where it went down.
You proposed in the parking lot? I can't. I can do 20 minutes of stand-up on this. You know that, right?
It was a beautiful sunset.
I got gravel in my knee when I went down. I had to pick it out. You know? Anyways, seagull stuff all over the floor. Anyway, that aside, I went to Louis, where you proposed.
Which just recently, they're probably celebrating about a year now.
Yeah, the renovation? I would think so, right? So we went down there and sitting in the bar, and beautiful. It's just a great view. I mean, Manhasset Bay is gorgeous, you know. And my buddy Paolo, who's a sommelier there, came over, and I didn't know he was working there. I guess he was at Teller's for years and years, and now he's with the Sbarro Group. So anyway, he came over, and I was chatting with him for a while, and he sent out some lamb chops. And I didn't really want to eat there for no other reason other than I had plans. You know, I was going someplace else. So we had the lamb chops. They had a little chimichurri on them. They were very good. You know, had a couple glasses of wine. And off we went to this place, Jai, J-A-I. You familiar with it?
No.
It's up on Shore Road, just past Piccolo Liguria. You know where that is, Piccolo Liguria? If you make a right on Shore Road, right before you make the left bend to go to Louis, you go up Shore Road, and it's maybe about a mile up on the right-hand side. And I met these fellas, Chinese fellas, I believe, at the Great Chefs of Long Island. They had a table next to mine. And they had these dumplings. They were doing shrimp and truffle dumplings, you know, and you could tell they were homemade shumai. It wasn't, you know, the usual frozen things that you get in a lot of these restaurants. And they said to me last year, oh, you got to come up and, you know, come and see us. And I will come. I never went. So I saw him again this year, and I said, you know what, I apologize. I should have been there, and I'm coming this year. So I went anyway. Long story short, Sunday night. I tell you what, Stu, if you like Asian food, it's kind of Chinese inspired, but there's other things on the menu.
And J-A-I?
J-A-I. It's great. I mean, they have a really cool wine by the glass list I was very impressed with. I had these oxtail dumplings that were, you know, fried, but they were, you know, they were as hot as napalm is what they were. But the bottom line is if you let them cool down, you can enjoy them. They make this, they came with a black garlic aioli, which was textbook good. He sent out some other stuff too. We had a bunch of things that we were, I'm trying to think. We had the shrimp and truffle dumplings, I think, and a hot and sour. He sent out a hot and sour soup that was fabulous. And they make their own chili oil they bring to the table if you know you want to add that. It's just the food is very, very good, and it's so well done. And anyway, I think if you're in that area up in Port Washington and you like Chinese food or the Asian flavors, got to get
so there. That's incredible that you share that, because on the fingers of my hand, I can name five restaurants. Now, Jai will be the newest addition, but Old Mandarin in Hicksville, I've talked about it before, right. Incredible. Nissan, which is like Northport,
yeah.
Incredible. Tom over there,
yeah,
the
Tom's
owner.
Good guy.
You got the Orient. Which
Beth
is in
Bethpage.
You got the Orchid, which is in Garden City, and I'll name one of Kwan Ming in Wantor is a pretty good heritage legendary restaurant.
Yeah,
but I just wanted to go back. You were talking about the Sbarro family, so Jerry Sbarro is sort of an acquaintance. So they own Rothmans,
uh-huh.
They own Louis, as you said.
Yeah,
they own Mateo's of Huntington.
Yes.
But they also have a new restaurant, and I'm not sure if you're familiar.
Chaz.
The Chaz, yeah.
Yeah, I know.
It will be interesting to see who gets there first, you or I, and to give a review of that. Also, to jump back for a second, Lobster. We were talking about going to out east to Allure in the Port of Egypt Marina.
Yeah.
I said a steamed lobster, mm-hmm. But I know you can broil a lobster.
Yeah,
you can steam it and you can boil it.
Yeah.
What's the difference in steaming and boiling in your mind?
Minimum liquid. I mean, you know, boiling, you kind of leach flavor out of it a little bit, you know, because it's boiling in the water. So steaming is, you know, is a little less.
So if you want to kill two birds with one stone, you boil your lobster and then you make some bisque.
You can do that, but it's going to take a lot of lobsters. You know, you got to hold it in there more than 7 minutes, you know.
And then I just wanted to share a funny story. Vincent's Clam Bar over in Claw Place, I guess it is, right?
Yeah, I love Vincent's.
So they also have, I guess the original is in
Mulberry Street.
Right. And do you have any idea what the relationship is? Was it owned?
I don't believe there is one, but I don't know that for sure.
So a good friend of mine, Joe Matone, who is a member and the leader of my band of Undistinguished Gentlemen, mm-hmm. has spent a lot of time in the city doing construction and stuff. And he said he would love to always go down to Mulberry Street and get a little bit of Vincent's. And I said, the shrimp balls. He goes, I didn't know they have them. But
must be millions of them to an order.
But they make, like you make a meatball, they make a shrimp ball, and it's incredible. This is in Mulberry Street. I'm not sure if they have it here on Long Island.
Yeah.
And he goes, there's nothing better than shrimp balls with the hot, I guess the, like a...
spicy sauce?
Fried Diavolo sauce.
Yeah, yeah.
He goes, and, you know, if you ask, you know, you say you want to take some home, they always try to sell you the jarred version.
Yeah, sure.
Which... not so much as compared. It's good,
yeah.
But not as wonderful as what they ladle out when they serve you. You know, the shrimp balls.
Well, fresh.
So he says you gotta force yourself on them and make sure they give you a container of the fresh sauce to take home.
Merchandising.
Yeah. Oh, so God. At any rate. Let's take a break while you answer the phone.
Yeah, there you go. I got caught.
And we will be right back with you.
Barry Manilow.
Looks like we made it.
The last Long Island concert.
The Copacabana.
Barry Manilow. See him performing all the hits for one night only. Barry Manilow. UBS Arena, April 13th. Get tickets now at Ticketmaster.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Playing with Fire on 1100 WHLI AM and 104.7 WHLI FM, Long Island's own food, wine, and lifestyle show with your host, Tom Shordell, chef, author, and restaurateur.
Yeah, so I'd like to get back to that Jai place again a little bit. You know, I'm going to go back and explore the rest of the menu.
So let's go through this again because I'm very intrigued. Again, my gang literally goes to Old Mandarin at least once a week, uh-huh. and they have their set choice of appetizers and entrees. So let's go through the menu for what do you do for an appetizer when you go to when you went to Jai again? What did you notice?
I bounced around. I'm trying to think of what we... Two orders of the oxtail dumplings. We had an order of...
So that was a dumpling that was stuffed with oxtail.
Yeah, stuffed with oxtail. Okay. Fried. And it was served with a black garlic aioli, which was very good. And then he sent out a hot and sour soup, which was kicking. I mean, really kicking. And it had a little bit of a knockout punch to it.
Now,
you know,
explain to me this. A hot and sour soup starts as like almost like an egg drop soup, and then they put seasonings and additives to make
It's usually there's a stronger stock involved. When I make it, I like to make it with a really reduced chicken stock or a duck stock. But then there's a bunch of vegetables in there. They have the mushrooms in there. There's usually some tofu or something in there also. And his vinegar and chili, you know, it makes it the hot and sour. And it was very, very good. It was probably the best one I've ever had. And the thing that, excuse me, that man, I'm having trouble here today. The thing that sets Jai apart, I think, from most other Chinese restaurants is everything is handmade there. Everything. I mean, the shumais are hand-stuffed. You know, we had a shrimp and truffle one. I'm trying to think of what else we had. Three to four different things. I don't remember now, but... bottom line is everything was stellar from, you know, start to finish. And again, the wine list. I mean, they had a Chablis on there. When was the last time you went to a Chinese restaurant?
Well, it's funny because when I go out with my gang, they end up you'll scringe because they get Santa Margarita, Pinot Grigio. But going back to quick with the dumplings, when you say they're fried, it's not like deep fried. They're not putting it in oil.
They were deep fried.
Oh, really? Because a lot of places, don't they just fry it on a pan?
Right on the bottom,
so the bottom is...
Yeah, they started... What that technique is, you start it with some water in a pan of stock or whatever, and then when it steams off, you know, the only thing left is the pan and the, you know, a little bit of oil, and it just browns the bottom. They call them pot stickers, you know.
Do they have soup dumplings there also?
Yeah, that's what we had. We had a soup dumpling. Those are interesting. You know, those you got to make sure you wait a couple minutes too, because you know, you get the soup inside the dumpling and it's hot. You know, so you got to kind of.
We get, and you can tell us if that might be on the menu, almost like a casserole. It's bok choy and maybe celery, but then it's either with meat or fish and other vegetables. It's incredible. Very spicy. It's in a like a chili based broth almost.
I don't know. There's a bunch of things there. I didn't explore the whole menu. We just had, you know, we already had lamb chops over at Louis, so I was kind of, you know, I wasn't as hungry as I would have been. And, but it's, you know, I forgot again.
That's funny you say that. I have to. So, our friends over at Nathan's in Belmore, one night I'm over at Kashi across the street having some sushi with Carrie. We go our own way. And I said, I got to stop over and say Frankie Chicken and say hello.
Yeah, yeah.
So I go over to Nathan's, and Frankie's there, his wife's there. And, he goes, thanks for stopping by. You got to come in with Darren, who's my sales manager. And you, he goes, I want Tom here. But meanwhile, he goes, let me bring you out some ribs and this and that.
Oh, wow.
And I just left Kashi. I'm full. And I had to do the right thing and enjoy his hospitality.
No, this eating thing, everybody thinks it's easy. It's not easy. You know what I mean? This is work. It's hard work. You know, I was at lunch one time at Nobu. One of my wine guys invited me into the city to taste these Australian wines with, you know, Nobu's cuisine, which was kind of, you know, I was thinking it's kind of weird, but it turned out it was great. And, you know, the waitress came over and said, we'd like some dessert. And it's right around a block from my favorite Italian restaurant of all time, Maria, you know. And I'm thinking, you know, I could go have the octopus and bone marrow pasta over there for dessert. So I went over. And I ordered it, and it was a complete mistake. I felt like I swallowed a small farm animal, right? I'm on the train, you know what I mean? I sleep through my stop. You know, it was just a complete mess. I'm like, you know what? It's hard work. This eating thing is hard work.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Just to share a quick story. Just like you said, I come home from a hard day's work. Maybe I had an after hours, a political event or something. Uh-huh. I sit down in my living room. I make myself some pasta with some tomato sauce on top. I'm not smart enough to mix it through. I put it on top.
Yeah.
And next thing I know, I wake up. My glasses are. I'm sitting on the couch. My glasses are laying next to me. The phones are all over the place. The TV's on. The lights on. And it's 3 o'clock in the morning.
Oh yeah, that's. I do the same thing after the second bottle of wine. Wake up. Where are the glasses? What happened? You know. Oh, God. Mike was over the other night. Dorio came over the other night. We had a bottle of an Italian Chardonnay that they do make Chardonnays in Italy. They're not known for it. Gaia, Angelo Gaia, who's one of the higher-end winemakers in Italy, makes an incredible Chardonnay. I first had it in 1985, believe it or not. It was the first year he made it, and one of my wine guys brought it to me and said, you got to try this Chardonnay from Italy. And I had one eyebrow up, Chardonnay from Italy, really? You know, it was insanely good. And then I had it again about a year ago up in Boston. It was on the wine list by the glass. It was like $70 a glass, but I had to try it because I wanted to see if it was as good as it was, you know. So we had a glass of that, and then it was just stupid good, you know.
So I got to share the yin and yang of life. So I got invited up to, and I'm going to be explicit, to the Valley Bank suite for an Islander game the other day. And it was an incredible night because I was going. My son's a diehard Islander fan, mm-hmm. so much so that he's not born with red hair, it's orange hair.
Oh, no.
And he goes to a lot of games. And he's so funny because we went together. We went on the train, which is an adventure.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because UBS Arena is beautiful. It's just that the parking and get the train, it's a long walk.
Yeah.
They spoil you by having a train being able to get you there, but it's a long walk. At any rate, the Islanders were playing the Penguins, and it was going great. 1-0, 2-0, 3-0. By the time it was over, it was actually 8-2. The Islanders lost.
Really?
But my son sends me a picture. He's so proud that up in the suite area, there's a picture that he happened to be in the background of when the Islanders scored a game-winning goal that got him into the playoffs or whatever. But again, I was in a suite, and the yin and yang of life, I walk in, and there's Artemis on the bar.
Oh, really?
Stag's Leap Artemis.
Yeah, yeah.
It's probably about an $85 bottle of wine,
yeah.
Retail.
Yeah.
Beautiful. I know I like that. And I don't think it's one of those psychological things. I just know consistently I enjoy it.
Yeah.
So I'm having a little bit of that. I go to check out the food. I'm spoiled. Just the wrong selection of foods. They had pulled pork. They had some chicken sandwiches. I don't like a thick chicken sandwich. I like a breast that's, you know, sort of beat up and thin.
You're a breast guy.
Yeah, they had macaroni and cheese, chicken parmesan.
Oh, boy.
I hate buffalo. Buffalo chicken dip.
Uh-huh.
You know, I did what I had to do, but I would have been so much happier with a hot dog and a hamburger.
You know, sports arenas, although it's changing now. If you go to, you know, Citi Field or Yankee Stadium, they have decent things there now, decent restaurants or whatever. But they always seem to kind of bow to the lowest common denominator, you know?
These choices were terrible. And my frustration in life is I went to a tasting afternoon where they were releasing all the new items uh-huh. that they were going to be selling at the arena. And I came across, you talked about short rib before, short rib grilled cheese sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. I can't find it in the arena.
Yeah, it's fabulous. I know.
But, I mean, if I would have had that, a hot dog and my Artemis,
yeah, perfect.
Woo!
Yeah, perfect day. All right, listen, well, we got to get out of here because we're going to do a little something special today. We're going to end the show with Tom's Three Keys to Life, and then we're going to bring Barry in for, like, one last time, and we're going to go out with a Barry Manilow tune. I think that'll be a lot of fun. So let's end the show with Tom's Three Keys
and
to
Happy
Life.
Easter to
happy
everybody.
Easter. Life is too short to drink bad wine. Treat every meal like it was your last. Keep chocolate in your life as important as sex, pizza, and a cool little Barry Manilow tune to take us out. Happy Easter, everyone.
Joy and peace to all.
everybody, get ready for a treat. It's time for stepping out for something mighty good to eat. You looking for atmosphere? Well, they got it happening here. They're doing barbecue the way it ought to be. Bring your sister, brother, significant other. Bring all your pals. There's always something smoking at Smoking Al.
Introducing Smoking Al's new fantasy platters. The whole gang can have fun feasting on each one of these enormous oversized platters, whether at home or in the dining room. Try the new Macho Nacho, the Bow Wow Wow, the Poo Poo Platter, the Caesar Pleaser, barbecue egg rolls, chicken wings, and a whole lot more. Smoking Al's Massapequa Park. For details, call 516-799-4900. And remember, there's always something smoking at Smoking Al's.
There's always something smoking at Smoking Al's.